SAFM Market Update with Moneyweb. Understanding the markets has never been easier.
This program is brought to you by the insurer trusted by 86 of the top 100 companies listed on the JSE. Suntum. Insurance good and proper.
Good evening and welcome to this special edition of the SAFM Market Update with Moneyweb. My name is Sikim Gabadeli. This evening, we're in conversation with the founder of and group CEO of the Clinics Health Group. That's Dr. Peter Kopomatseke. He also founded KOPM Group, which has companies such as S-Base, Clinics Renal Care, and KOPM Investments under its umbrella. He joins us now. Thank you so much, Dr. Matseke, for joining us today.
Thank you, Siki, and thank you to your listeners.
I've been dying to ask you how you got the nickname Kop.
No, Kop are my initials. My name is Khamane Obed Peter, so my initials became my nickname.
Well, your nickname, in a sense. Okay, yeah. And that's what you've been referred to for a long
most
time?
Most people know me as Kop.
Yes. Okay, well, it's great to have you here.
Okay, thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about your upbringing.
My upbringing, I was born in Krugersdorp and I grew up in Soweto. Come from a family of educators. My father was a founding principal of Orlando West High School, that's known as Matseke to most people. And my elder sister and my two brothers are all in the education field, and I'm the only one who's in the healthcare and my mom. So spend most of my time in Soweto.
Yeah.
Then my high school, I went out to Tabancho. And then for university, I went to Fort Hare University and Natal University.
And Natal University, yes. And that's where you did medicine?
Medicine, yes.
All right. And we're going to come back to that. I just want to talk a little bit about your family. Your father, as you say, an educator. And his former students include so many well-known people. Duke Toke Sekgwales, yes. Mara Lowe, Archbishop Emeritus Desmond Tutu, and his wife, and so on. So what values do you think that value of education actually instilled in you?
I think it was very, very critical. My dad took education very seriously. And possibly I was fortunate in the sense that I was the last born at home. Mm-hmm. So I think he had all the time. There was time for him to expose me to more things than they could possibly expose to my brother and my sister, my other brothers and my sister. So I was fortunate in that sense. So it was very clear when I grew up that education was the best. So my parents tried to take me to the best schools, and they tried to give me as much education as possible.
What pulled you towards medicine and healthcare?
Funny enough, I was fairly good at mathematics. So by the time I finished my matric, I had a buzzer to go to Germany to go and do engineering.
Wow.
But those days, I think my father just thought I was crazy, that I wanted to go to Germany away from home, and he just persuaded me, almost persuaded, I would say instructed me.
Instructed, yeah. There was no persuasion.
to say, look, I needed to follow my uncle, who's in Tato Motlana, and go and study medicine.
Yeah.
So that's how I went into medicine.
And Fort Hare?
Those days, if you remember, I hadn't even applied to go for medicine because I was fairly clear to say possibly I would be going to Germany, going to do engineering. So I had to go to Fort Hare, and I did my BSc 1 and my BSc 2. Then I switched and did medicine.
And those university days, being a student at that time, and we know how volatile those times were, what was that like?
It was quite interesting times. I mean, I started my varsity during 1976. Mm-hmm. That when I did my first year, then I did my second year, 77. I mean, we had all our challenges, but we were fairly clear that education is key. Mm. So we had our experiences where we were pushed out of universities, had to come from Alice back to Joburg.
Yeah.
But we knew that at the core of it, the only thing that would have liberated us was education, and we took it very seriously.
And when you think about that, saying that, and looking at today and the centrality that we're trying to put to education, we know that there's the Fees Must Fall movement, for example, in our universities. Our students are hankering for that, to get in, to also to be able to afford to study. When you juxtapose that time and now, do you see any similarities at all?
I see similarities, but I also see that I think the situation now is more complex. I think during our days, we knew there was one common enemy. Mm. You knew education was the only way that you're going to get liberated. Everyone was pulling in the same direction. Yeah. Parents, children, everyone knew, you know, that was the direction. Now it's more complex, you know. Now it's more complex as well, I think. I think as well, maybe another element as well is the element of expectation and expectation to say, you know, people maybe expect more, you know.
Yeah.
During those days, we never expected anything from government, so you knew that you had to.
You had to do it for yourself. But then the government wasn't going to do it for you, was it?
Yeah, so I think that is a major, major difference.
All right, let's talk a little bit about business. So you finished university, and then what happened?
Okay, and I finished university, and then the first thing that I did when I qualified, Dr. Ntato Motlane, who's my uncle, came to me and said, look, we are busy doing developing then Lesedi Clinic, presently today is now called Dr. S.K. Matseke Memorial Hospital, and we have started the medical aid. I would like you to invest in this company.
Mm.
So that is the first thing that I did when I qualified. I invested with the 38 shareholders that started, the group was called Kwacha. And then around 1987, we had a shareholders meeting, and I was asking too many questions, so Dr. Ntato Motlane invited me to join the board.
Yeah.
So I joined the board of Kwacha, of Lesedi, around 87, and they were busy doing a major development, and we had some financial problems. So at that stage, I was asked by the board to become a managing director to try and help Lesedi then to resolve his issues.
Okay. What were some of those issues?
No, it was more around management. Okay. It's more around the business side. I always liked business, you know, and so I spent 14 months of my time, and during that time I never knew much about business, so I went and I did the MEP with Vets Business School, so just to make sure that I just understand the basics of business.
Yeah. And again, we're coming back to that need to study make sure that you've got the basics as you move forward.
Yeah, through, yeah. So that is what happened. And then once I helped resolve the issues that for the Kwacha group, then I left. Then I started clinics in 1992.
All right, and we're going to pick up on that, and I want to talk a little bit about the early days, starting the businesses, the challenges that come with that, and of course your chairmanship of the Gauteng Enterprise Propeller as well, and the role that's playing with the bringing up our young entrepreneurs. We're in conversation this evening with the founder and group CEO of the Clinics Health Group, that's Dr. Peter Matseke.
Sikiem Gabadeli on SAFM.
This evening, in conversation with the founder and group CEO of the Clinics Health Group, Dr. Peter Matseke. He's also the former chairman of the board of the Gauteng Enterprise Propeller. I want to go back a little bit to the initial vision of Lesedi. What was it that you and the rest of the shareholders, what were you aiming to do?
Yeah. See, it's actually very interesting that the challenges that were there for the doctors those early days, I'm sure you're aware now that the minister himself asked for a health market inquiry in terms of private sector in South Africa. I mean, what drove those doctors and business people to set up Sizwe and to build up Lesedi? What was that? Black patients, black doctors never had access to private health care, never had access to medical aid, and that was the primary drive, to say private health care has always been seen not to cater for Africans and blacks and the poor. So Dr. Motlane and them, the founders of Kwacha, were trying to close that gap.
Okay.
So that is a founding principle of that particular group.
And spreading it and growing the group itself, what was your strategy?
I mean, that's where I started. So Clinics is almost, you call it as an offshoot of that Kwacha vision. My focus has stayed the same. My focus has been to make healthcare accessible to, if you look at our locations, we are in the townships, we are in the rural areas, we're trying as much as possible to make private healthcare accessible to the people that previously couldn't access it. And as well, we're also giving up an opportunity for our doctors to be able to practice within their communities.
And that for me is also a very key issue, and I want to talk a little bit about that. Firstly, the impact that this has had on the communities in which you operate, but also this opportunity that you are able to give doctors to work within their own communities.
That has been our focus, but it didn't come without challenges and without problems, in the sense that, I mean, when we started, we didn't know much, as I said. I mean, my own experience was at Lesedi. So when I started the clinics, I made mistakes. I mean, I didn't have enough doctors' rooms. There were not enough members of the community who were on medical aid. There were not enough specialists that were there. And at this early stage, those days, it was prestigious to work in the sentence of this world. So you were always competing against all those issues.
And the community who go in there, the patients want to have the same experience that they would have in the wealthier hospitals.
Yeah, they would like to have the same experience, and they are entitled to do that. But unfortunately as well, if you look at our healthcare system as well, it also goes along with our education system.
Yeah.
You talked about education system. So you need, if your education system doesn't work well, so your production of your top nurses is not going to work, your production of your admin people. So when we started, we had to battle around those issues. We had to re-employ the people around our own areas where we operated our hospitals. So we had to make sure that they improve in terms of their education and all those type of things. I mean, like now, one of my major ambitions now is to, I've got a nursing school now, but I'd like to invest more into education. It's a strategic decision that I've taken now, that I'm looking for a principal.
Yeah.
I'd like to invest more in terms of education so as to sustain the group. Because without education, there's no way that I can sustain the group.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the growth of the group. How many clinics and hospitals are you running now?
We've got 8 hospitals presently, and we are hoping to open a third one in Soweto. And then the other expansion programs, I'm trying to see whether can I open one in the middle of Johannesburg, city center of Johannesburg, because I think there's a need. And as I said, one of my major issues now is to try and get the school going. We also have a couple of dialysis centers across South Africa, together with a group called Fresenius. So that's where I am now. And then I think part of my bigger strategy as well, I'm sure if you go through our hospitals, you can see that we are reinvesting more in the existing hospitals.
Yeah.
We want to compete head on with the big groups now.
And you've had some refurbishments and
yes.
and all of that as well.
Yeah, we've just built a new high-tech 15-bedded ICU in Sebokeng.
Yeah.
We are busy building a new one in Vosloorus. And we are putting a lot of money at Dr. S.K. Matseke Hospital in Soweto, where we're putting high-tech theaters, high-tech ICUs, and new wards. It's going to be a 275-bedded hospital next day.
Wow. How much have you invested in these hospitals?
The way I've started the group and the way I'm looking at the group is that I've always looked at it hospital at a time.
Okay.
And I had all my financial challenges and, you know, so if you ask me that, I actually do not know.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but it has been done over time. I've never taken anything off the table. Everything, whatever the group did, has been pushed back into the group. So that has been my philosophy. So for me, I see these hospitals as someone who's got their own kids that, you know, is one kid at a time.
Yeah.
I've never looked at this group as a group. And people are starting to look at it as a group, but for me, it has been hospital at that time. If there's leeway to borrow money, then you borrow money and you do an expansion. I mean, like now, that's my strategy. Even though it's got limitations, I cannot, you know, I can go up to this level, then I have to wait build up a bit, then go a bit.
And then when, well, look, yeah, I mean, growth is about taking one step at a time.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what has been happening. If you ask me how much, I don't know. But all that I know is that I started it. My parents gave me 70,000. So this group I started at 70,000. It was effort plus 70,000.
And we're going to talk about that effort plus 70,000 as we talk about entrepreneurship. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Peter Matseke in a moment.
Sikiem Gabadeli on SAFM.
Continuing our conversation with founder and group CEO of the Clinics Health Group, that's Dr. Peter Matseke, talking about his life, talking about the group itself. And now we're going to turn our attention a little bit to entrepreneurship. You chaired formerly the board of the Gauteng Enterprise Propel. It's an organization that's dedicated to the empowerment, the encouragement of budding South African entrepreneurs. How did you get involved with them?
I was invited by the then MEC of Economic Development, Katani Mahlangu, yeah, to serve as the chairperson of a Gauteng Enterprise Propeller. And for me as an entrepreneur, it was a very great journey for me, you know, to give back to the community and to make sure that there's a big challenge in the country in terms of youth unemployment and the issues around entrepreneurship, and I think Gauteng Enterprise Propeller would play a very important role in resolving some of those issues.
What do you think are our biggest issues around entrepreneurship? We've now got a Ministry of Small Business, for example, because there's been a recognition that this is a sector that must be focused on. And yet, whenever we look at any benchmarks, whether they're international or even studies, we're still just struggling to grow that part of our economy.
I just think maybe people will differ with me, and differ with me. I've gone around the world as well. When I was a GP, I was fortunate enough to go around the world. I think part of our limitation is that if you look at other countries, the amount of money that they spend in terms of entrepreneurship is huge. I think even South Africa is huge, but it's just that it's scattered all over.
It's all over.
It's all over, so there is not a concerted effort to say, look, let's put in these millions under one entity and try and run particular programs. So everyone is doing that. I think resources are a problem. Mm. But the other issue as well, I think entrepreneurship is not something that you can teach someone. Mm. So I think entrepreneurs are born. They are those that are geared in that sense. And I think for the few that you are going to get, we need to try and support them. And I mean, Gauteng Enterprise Propeller, that's the financial and non-financial support services. So I think you need that. And I think as well as I didn't know I'll be where I am. I was lucky in the sense that I was exposed to great people like Ntata Motlana, GMPJ, Kaiser Mtaung for another way. I mean, Kaiser as well has played a very important role. Stix Murray has played a very important role in my life in exposing me to say, look, if you are a professional, like Kaiser is a professional soccer player, he's got Kaiser Chiefs today. So those are some of the things that I said. I mean, in the healthcare environment, I can do a difference in the healthcare environment. But I think the support is very critical from government.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be easy. We're all going to make mistakes. I made mistakes. I mean, I would say, I mean, the Industrial Development Corporation played a very important role in the existence of this group. I mean, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be where I am today.
And that support, very important.
It's very important, And
mistakes, do you remember one that you think, whew,
look,
how did I get out of that?
From the beginning, I mean, you made mistakes. You set up a hospital, you don't have enough doctors' rooms, and you lose money. So if people do not believe in your dream, if you don't have those support systems, you are bound to be taken off the table. And unfortunately, South Africa has been seen in terms of the big groups.
Yeah.
When you make a mistake, they'll easily take you off the table. You know, so they don't have a social conscience of trying to help and sustain and build. I know we all talk about BE, let's build and that type of thing. But the big groups, if they see that you're in an area that they would like, I mean, like my group, I know the big groups would love to be in there.
Yeah,
they would love to be in there. I mean, but they had an opportunity to invest in black areas. They never did.
And there was a gap,
but they knew that it was difficult.
Yeah.
Now that I've done the work, now it's possibly going to be easy. They would love for me to make mistakes. So I have to be looking after all those issues to say I must never make any mistake, because I make a mistake, any of these big groups would be out there to take me on. You know, so I don't think it's specific for only me.
No.
It's specific for all other entrepreneurs.
Mm.
So they start with good ideas, could take all the risk, but you need capital, you need the support. Especially now, even the government support. I was listening to Deputy President saying yesterday that they are going to proactively make sure that black business gets the bulk
of supported.
They get supported. And to build up that entrepreneur cadre, you need government support. Without that, it's a pipe dream.
It's also hard work.
For you to become an entrepreneur, you need to be wired in a way. When people say what you are going to do is not going to work, then you know you're in the right direction.
So what motivates you? What keeps you doing this?
I think I was fortunate in the sense that I grew up and I was exposed to great men and women. So what motivates me, I would say, is not money. It's clearly is not money. It's developing on what I have started and what Dr. Matlana and them have started. So for me, I look at this, as I say, hospital at the time, giving job opportunities. I mean, presently we've got over 1,500 permanent employees. Indirectly, we employ about 2,500 people. And for me, that's how I look at it. So if next year this number could be 2,000, 3,000, that's what motivates me. I just want to work. I just want to make a difference, and that is it. If money comes, it's by the wayside. It's not my motivation. Though when you're in business, you have to make money.
Otherwise, it won't
be sustainable, but it's not the primary objective.
What advice would you give young entrepreneurs who are working, as you say, in this environment where they're looking for the support, they're trying to make the effort, they want to make a difference in their communities, and they're just hitting stumble blocks? What would you say to them?
Look, I think they must have a very good story. They must believe in whatever venture they would like to. They must never be limited by, they must never think about the capital that they need. They must more think about what they want to do. If the story is good, the money will come. But they must also know that they are going to get issues, they are going to have problems, but they must be able to stay the course. And the issue that I could warn them about is that once their things start working, they are going to get all the crazy offers.
Mm.
And they must believe in what they are doing and they take it further, because the chances are that you have been taken off. You get all these crazy offers, then you move away from your course. And whatever vision you had then fails and is not sustained into the future. So they need to believe, and they mustn't take shortcuts. They must look in long term. And it's going to be hard. That I know. I've been in it now for over 22 years.
An absolute pleasure talking to you today.
Okay, thank you, Siggy.
Thank you so much for your time. That's founder and group CEO of the Clinics Health Group, Dr. Peter Matseka, bringing us to the end of this special edition of the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. Thank you so much for listening. Until tomorrow, bye-bye.
This program was brought to you by the insurer trusted by 86 of the top 100 companies listed on the JSE. Suntum. Insurance good and proper. Burglars don't take a holiday just because you do. Which is why at Suntum, we automatically increase our clients' household insurance by 10%, free of charge, from the 15th of December to the 31st of January. So whether you're away or at home, you can have a more restful, more festive season, knowing your possessions are properly covered.
For a quote, call 0860 444 444 or your broker. Santam, insurance good and proper. An authorized financial services provider.